Appeals. The court is now in session. The judges are Judge Smith, Judge Sleater, and Judge Gaietis. The Honorable Theodora Gaietis presiding.
Good morning to everyone, and welcome again to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. Today is December 16th, 2021, and our calendar has four cases. We have three cases scheduled for oral argument and one case scheduled for non-oral conference. And before we get started, maybe just by nodding your head, attorneys, can you see the clock on the screen? Okay, good. All right. So we're just going to proceed directly into our first case. And that case is In Re County Board Action Notice on Interim Use Permit Request to Operate a Kennel on Parcel Number R35142030000020. And this is case number A210498. And this case is scheduled for argument. We have both of our attorneys here. It looks like you're able to see the clock on the screen. I'll just remind you of the time constraints for the arguments this morning. Appellant will have 15 minutes, respondent will have 15 minutes, and then appellant will have the opportunity to give a 5-minute rebuttal. And counsel, finally, I would just ask you to identify yourselves and the party you're representing before you get started with your argument. That concludes my remarks. If everyone is ready to go, we can begin with counsel for appellant. Good morning.
Good morning. Your honors, opposing counsel, may it please the court. My name is Michelle Olson, and I represent the appellant in this matter, the DeMartinis. We have asked this court to reverse the denial of their interim use permit for their private property to build a kennel. This has been a long, arduous journey for my clients. They have tried everything to be able to do what they want, which is to have a kennel where they can produce beautiful animals and give them to the world. And they are being denied, not because they don't follow the plan or because they met the requirements for this interim use permit, but because the county didn't like how they started the kennel. The neighbors don't like that they started this kennel, and therefore they found any way to deny them this permit. Blue Earth County ordinances are very important here, and the Blue Earth County Ordinance, Section 24.1A, Parent A, Parent 2, states that to protect and conserve the character and social economic stability of agriculture, residential, commercial, industrial, and other use areas in the county to promote their orderly development, that is what their zoning ordinance is discussing here. Interim use permits are designed for that. The DeMartini's land is under an agricultural zoning, so they are allowed a certain amount of operation inconveniences that not normal land within the residential areas, including noise, odors, dust, and to be prepared for those inconveniences when we do an interim use permit. In this case, the biggest factor seemed to be noise. That's what was talked about significantly by neighbors. However, they had had plans made, met several times with the, not just the commission, but the planning, site to discuss and develop ways to reduce noise. They did that. They had plans. And under the ordinance to get the interim use permit, which would be section 24-47, parent F, parent 1, they had 15 factors of criteria that they needed to meet to get that interim use permit. And upon their proposal, their new one that was approved and submitted to the commission, they met all 15 criteria. Now, in these planning commissions, they review the plan and what was found when they do inspections, things of that nature. And there were three factors which the commission did not agree with. However, the three factors.
Before we go into those factors, Ms. Olson, I'm just wondering if we could spend some time talking about the record that's actually before this court. Yes, and I note that We don't have a transcript or meeting minutes from the actual board meeting that occurred in this case. Am I right about that?
I believe there are some board minutes, but not a full one, Your Honor. We attempted to get a transcript made. However, we didn't have it. We had very few options. I know we requested it from the board and that didn't happen. So there is a video. They do record their meetings, but I don't believe there is a full record. And I agree that that is a little bit of an issue. However, both parties submitted their statements of fact. They're used, I think, again, what the biggest issue here and what was shown in the statements of the fact.
Ms. Olson, whose burden is it to provide the record in this case?
We are to obtain the record if we are able, but we were unable to do that, so, Your Honor. And at that point, we are allowed to present a statement of facts and kind of get a concise statement. And then the county in this case, so respondent, is able to object and submit their own. And that's what is used at that point.
Well, so, and I did take a look at the county's statement of the proceedings, and the statement of the proceedings that we received from the county doesn't really give us much information about what happened at that board meeting. And so again, I guess I'm wondering what we should rely on in terms of a record as to what occurred at the board meeting.
Your Honor, our statement of the proceedings had more regarding the board meetings and what had happened. So I believe the court is entitled to look at all facts, all relevant things. We put in our addendum what we believed was important. The county also had the right to put in an additional parts of the addendum to make the record as full as we could. I believe the record is full enough to have still a good review on these issues. We have in there what the plan was. We have what the ordinance are and explaining about the ordinance. I don't think that the statement of the proceedings are in general dispute. There was a denial, and the denial was based on these three factors because all 15 factors must be met. The issue is there's a dispute on why the three factors were amended or why they chose to deny based on their lack of findings on these three factors. And
Ms. Olson, I'm sorry, I wanted to ask you about that precise point, which it appears the appellant does concede that the county board adopted the commission's findings, and those are the three. I think you were just starting to talk about those bases by which the ordinance is not met. And so they use phrases, for instance, like there's a lack of confidence that your client would comply because of past dogs running and the noise issue, as you mentioned. So that was the focus of the complaining neighbors and objecting neighbors, perhaps a better phrase. Why would that not be sufficient by our review simply looking at those three findings, and that would be sufficient to support the county's decision? What's missing?
That's where I was leading to, Your Honor. It's the standard. So a county board's denial of interim use permits cannot be arbitrary, capricious, or basically lack. What they're doing is they're usurping what was actually found by within the plans and what the initial findings were. And they amended their findings to say, well, there's a lack of confidence because they did something prior. However, that is usurping actually what the statute or what the ordinance says, which is if you look at the plan, does it meet the criteria? And if it meets the criteria, then you give them the interim use permit. It doesn't say, well, if they have past offenses or past decisions, that can mean you can say they have a lack of confidence. This is exactly the problem and why you can't arbitrarily deny interim use permits. And that's under, I think it's Bartholdt v. County of, and I never can pronounce the county correctly, but it's 716 Northwest 2nd. A 406 at 411. It's a Minnesota Court of Appeals 2006 case. And it specifically says, You can't, the governing body can't act unreasonably. And here they did. They didn't say that the plan wouldn't fix the issues that the neighbors were complaining about. They're saying, we don't think you're going to do that, but they don't know. And they had the plans. They showed that they were already in the process of getting it set up, but they're not going to complete the plan until they have approval. Because if they tried to do that, which is what they tried to do before, they got in trouble. They were told not to do that, that you have to get the permit first. And this is throughout.
Council, can I ask about that? So just so I understand, I mean, I understand looking at a plan when no one is engaged in the activity yet. Like, in other words, you seek the permit in order to engage in activity. But here, is there already the activity around the breeding and the kennel for breeding purposes that's already happening? And if so, can a governing body not look at whether it's credible that, you know, oh, we're going to do X, Y, and Z in the future, but there's actual history of X, Y, and Z not being done? I mean, isn't that sort of a different situation than if the proposed activity is not happening at all? Because I assume that animals, that there are dogs on the property still, right? At the point of this request for an IUP?
They were in the process of transitioning into a different location because they hadn't confirmed whether or not they'd get the IUP. So I don't believe anywhere in the ordinance it does allow for that. It just says if you meet the following fact, the 15 factors, that you should obtain your interim use permit. And there's no law that I have found in Minnesota that says you can use historical lack of, I guess, getting a permit to deny a permit. And I think the reason why is because it's private land and we believe private landowners should be able to use them for whatever purpose they want if it meets the zoning criteria, if they're in a certain zoning area. So I don't believe there is a requirement just because they had a denial. And I would note they tried to get a variance. They talked about getting a conditional use permit. They were told, no, get this interim use permit. That's the better way. So they tried doing that and they still got denied because the neighbors didn't like it. And I would note that there is some confusion of whether they actually started a kennel or there was breeding happening because they were getting dogs and then that morphed into becoming a kennel. So that's where there's a lot of gray area. And that's why we don't use that, because this gray area could be a denial, even though the plan, it works. They would have it all set up. They had everything. I know they had builders getting ready. They made all these plans. They were getting in the process of starting everything, or were midway through some of them because they had to get it moving. And they got denied because there was a claim of lack of confidence. And again, lack of confidence is not in any of the 15 factors. It's not part of that understanding. They met their criteria, and again, the reasons for the denial, either legally must be insufficient or factually, there's no basis in the record. And that's Yang v. County of Carver, 660 Northwest 2nd, 828 at 832. And that's a Minnesota Court of Appeals case in 2003. And there's nothing in their record that truly explains, either submitted by the county or appellant in this matter, that explains why their plan wouldn't meet the criteria. That was the whole point. They worked with the county actually to make sure they met the 15 factors. And even then they amended them because they were upset and because neighbors came and complained about noise.
And that's not fair. Council, and I'm sure it's in there, I'm just not finding it immediately. When you're referring to the discussion about there being a quote lack of confidence, where does that language appear?
I believe it's in the ultimate findings, Your Honor, and I'm trying to give you the right date for the meeting, because I believe there were three total meetings. I believe the first time it came up was in January 6th of 2021. They then continued the meeting for further discussions in February 16th, 2021. And that's when the Board of Commissioners, and I just want to make sure, they adopted the findings, and the findings themselves said there was a lack of confidence that they would continue to do that. but the original.
So if we look at for the findings, just, and again, I'm sorry to just get familiar with this now, but if we looked at, for example, the February 8th, 2021 memorandum that describes the alternative findings that are then adopted, it's those alternative findings we should be looking at, right?
Yes. The official.
Okay.
The official adoption would technically be that February 16th because they have to adopt the alternative findings, or the Board of Commissioners can reject the amended findings and go with the original proposed findings. They're entitled to do that from what I have seen, but they didn't. They chose to go with the amended findings. And one of the biggest issues and discussions that occurred was during that February 8th meeting and that those January 16th meetings, part of the board, the planning commission, stated to themselves, said, we shouldn't be looking at these historical facts. We have to look at the factors as is with the plan, because that is what we do under the ordinance. And they rejected that and made, again, these amended offerings and findings, not based on any actual fact or item within the plan, but instead what the neighbors were complaining about. And the complaints that the neighbors made are not to be a sole basis for denying an interim use permit. There is plenty of case law that we have cited in our brief that says, do not just use the opposition of a community member to say someone can't use the land for a particular purpose. And they met the standard. I think the biggest.
Well, let me ask a little bit about that. So I understand that just vague complaints, like I don't want this in my neighborhood, is not enough. But when I look at the alternative finding, for example, on the use and enjoyment of property factor, the finding was that photos and video footage have been provided to county staff showing dogs continuing to trespass on neighboring property, continuing to be easily heard barking. The action showing unwillingness on the part of appellants to take the matter seriously, keep dogs under control, lack of regard, et cetera, for neighbors, inability or unwillingness to control barking, trespassing dogs. Are you saying as a matter of law, the county has to ignore any past conduct and look only at a written plan and a future plan in determining whether there will be, whether the conduct will be injurious to the use and enjoyment of the property of those in the vicinity? Why can't the board look at past practices and conduct by the property owner?
I see that my time is up. May I answer?
You may answer.
Thank you. I think that's a twofold question, Your Honor. First, under the ordinance, it does not say you can use past conduct. It doesn't, none of the 15 factors actually look at historical conduct to allow it. So no, I don't believe under the ordinance you can do that. If they would like to change their ordinance to make that one of the factors, they certainly may, but Blue Earth County does not have it. So I don't believe you can use historical facts to do that. If they use the present facts of the dogs maybe coming in, that is understandable. And again, part of the plan then is to look at how you fix that problem, which the plan had extensive discussions how to fix it. They moved the location to get it away from the neighbors, actually further back. One of the neighbors who made a complaint was incorrect and was not actually one of the original people who had an issue with the dogs. They were just a neighbor there to bolster the denial, basically. They did not want them there. And again, I would go to the Minnesota Supreme Court's 1986 case, Amoco Oil Company versus City of Minneapolis. The simple fact community members oppose a landowner using his land for a particular purpose is not legally sufficient reason for denying the interim use permit. And that is solely what the factors were. It was that neighbors didn't like it, and therefore they found a lack of confidence, and none of those factors meet. Thank you. And I will reserve my 5 minutes for rebuttal.
You get it, whether you reserve it or not. So we'll see you again after respondent's argument. And counsel for respondent, you may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Susan DeVos. I'm appearing today on behalf of the Blue Earth County, and I'm requesting this court uphold the Blue Earth County Board of Commissioners' denial of the DeMartini's interim use permit request that they made to operate a dog kennel. if a written plan were enough, then this court wouldn't be here today. These requesters, in this case, the DeMartinis, have not been in compliance with the existing ordinances in Blue Earth County. So there's this court is, and the county board could look at past behavior. There's certainly it's indicative of what will be transpiring in the future. This is a case in which the DeMartinis were already operating a kennel, not the one that they put in their proposal, but already operating a kennel on their property when they applied for an interim use permit. That kennel was in violation of county ordinances. They did apply for the interim use permit in December of 2020.
Yes. I'm sorry. Can I just ask you about that first statement you made? That's an interesting point. It kind of goes to what Judge Smith is asking Ms. Olson. Isn't it true, or you can point me if it's not true, that in the county's ordinance for consideration of a permit, there is no factor that identifies whether an applicant has complied or not complied with past ordinances? And if that's true, then on what basis or legal authority could you present to us that notwithstanding that not being in an ordinance, it can be a factor that the county consider?
Thank you. The point of the 15 factors is to look at once what is presented, of course. In considering the ordinances and considering applications, generally people that apply for an interim use permit are not already in violation of the county ordinances. That's what makes this a unique case, Your Honor. It is true, it does not outline in the 15 factors or does not take into consideration whether an applicant is already violating the ordinances. That in and of itself is relevant, but not necessarily listed in the 15 factors, although it does lend credence to whether they will follow through with the 15 factors that are listed. And the three that the Planning Commission and ultimately the board determined were not met are those that they were already in violation of. So the fact that they were operating in an illegal kennel, no, it does not list in the ordinances what would happen if someone is operating an illegal kennel. They just frankly are in violation of the ordinances, which they are. And so the board and the Planning Commission did consider that. It's also how the neighbors, excuse me.
Oh, I'm sorry. You can finish your thought if you want. I wanted to ask a follow-up question. And the question I have then, if that's the case, all we have is those three findings and everything I see in there relates to then what you're arguing is at least a relevant factor, none of which are listed actually, but they're all past tense. So if that's all we have, how do we know the county board even looked at the plan and then compared the past with the plan and say, well, yeah, you've got this new setback, you have these new fences, you have these soundproofing, but here's the reasons those do not satisfy our ordinance. But I didn't see any of that. So with what we have, we don't even know that the county board considered it, or the commission for that matter, but simply looked at what they identify from past tense. So it almost appears on the record that exclusively they'd looked at non-factors listed, but past tense violations to consider the current plan. Am I looking in the wrong place, or if there's somewhere else I could look, or if you have a response to that?
I do. Well, we know that from the fact that there were two meetings in front of the Planning Commission, one January 6th, one February 3rd, both of 2021, at which time not only was the outline proposal presented, which is in the record before the court today, but both the DeMartinis Council at both occasions had an opportunity to present their proposal more fully, if it wasn't all in their written proposal, but they did have that opportunity to present anything they wanted at that time. And they did in fact present information through their attorney. And that is outlined in the minutes that were provided to the court. That is in the record as well from both of those meetings. Yes, there was a public comment as well from the neighbors, but certainly their proposal, and they spent some significant time on discussing what was different about this proposal, the setback being farther back, some of the noise, plan noise preventative measures. And again, some of those things were discussed, as in, why aren't those being done now? So certainly the board heard all of that as well, but definitely.
I just want to be clear. You're talking now about the board meeting or the planning commission meeting?
I apologize. I'm talking about the planning commission specifically, that there were two meetings before the board meeting, one January 6th, one February 3rd, at which time the proposal itself was thoroughly vetted. And anything that the DeMartini's attorney wanted to present was, he was given that opportunity to present as well, and did so. And that's outlined in the summaries.
Would you agree that we have no idea what actually happened at the board meeting, though, based on the record that's before us?
I would agree that we know the ultimate, the outcome. We don't have a transcript, and I understand that it's Ms. Olson's presentation today, and I believe that they provided some written documentation to the court early on, indicating that they had some difficulty in getting a transcript prepared, and so the statement of the case was presented.
And whose burden is it to provide the record for us to review?
Well, it is initially on the relator, in this case, the DeMartini's. All I know is what they presented to the court in terms of how their attempts to make a transcript and then their ultimate decision to go forward with a statement of the proceedings instead of a transcript.
Ms. DeVos, once that's satisfied and hearing kind of a basically statement of the facts method, because I think our special term court granted that request because there is no availability of transcripts. So my question then is, at that point, then, is there not a responsibility of the county to give the why the decision was made? And would you agree with that? And is the only why we have then those findings, those three findings from the commission that apparently were adopted by the county?
Well, the county board did adopt those three findings. That is outlined in the statement and proceedings, but the planning commission made the ultimate recommendation, and that is outlined in their minutes that have been provided and are part of the record. So we do have that information. Certainly the board meeting itself is not detailed in the sense of a transcript, but what happened there, essentially the vote that came after the planning commission's recommendation.
But just to clarify then, since the county board accepted those findings, is it essentially the county board's findings as well? Would that be a proper legal statement?
The findings from the planning commission, they were adopted by the county board, correct?
Okay. And any of those minutes, and I can look back at those then, that from the commission, do they explain in some detail why the plan submitted? The reason I'm asking this is it almost looked to me like the appellants were responding positively to these complaints. In other words, dogs were running free. Okay, we've got these two layers of fences, a privacy fence and a run fence. The noise, and they limit the time periods they would be outside, and then they also would close these garage sort of doors, soundproofing inside of a kennel, which I'd never heard of before, but it kind of makes good sense for the neighbors. So my point being is it looks like they were being proactive in responding to the very complaints of the neighbors. And yet I don't see how the commission then balanced that and said, well, notwithstanding these, here's the reasons these won't satisfy the neighbors. Is there any of that in those minutes? And is that important?
It can be important to some level, Your Honor, in the sense of certainly what they propose and what they attempt to mitigate any of the issues raised are important. But it's also important to consider what's going on in this specific circumstance. And again, I don't think this can be looked at in a vacuum. This was a case in which the parties said a number of things on paper, but the concern being that those weren't followed through leading up to this. And then they made this request and it was continuing. None of those mitigation systems were put in place.
Ms. DeVos, I'm still a little confused because the mitigation factors were proactive, right? They would begin once a IUP is approved. That's my understanding. And isn't it true that the county, if they had some concerns about follow through, they could make those part of the conditions? Okay, before you said you would do this and you didn't do it, or you haven't complied, now you're saying you will, so we're going to put you on a tight leash, no pun intended, in this kennel case, to make sure you comply. Wouldn't that be the proper method then for assuring compliance with the ordinance based on a not completely unrelated factor than past you haven't complied, so we'll just make that a condition? But we don't see any of that either. We just don't see that kind of consideration. Wouldn't that be important for our review as to whether it's arbitrary or capricious?
I think, Your Honor, I think that that is, again, some of the factors that this court could look at, or what the board could look at, is whether those situations could make a difference, or those mitigating factors could make a difference. And it appears the Planning Commission did do that. Maybe it's not just fully vetted in the explanation that's before the board itself, but certainly in the Planning Commission's summaries or in the Planning Commission's minutes, those are more detailed. And again, that's what the board relied on. It's true, we didn't have all those things in place because the parties hadn't built the new kennel and hadn't moved forward with it. But in this case, Your Honor, I do think that we need to look at what the circumstances were and what had not been done. And in fact, the attorney for the DeMartinis did explain to the Planning Commission that simply the fact is there's going to be noise. There's going to be barking. These are dogs. And so it's essentially an admission, Your Honor, that this isn't, the noise is not going to be eliminated. That's what's going to happen with having this kennel. And so the Planning Commission heard that as well and took that into consideration.
Not to be overly fixated upon the record of the board meeting, but I'm just looking at the statement of the proceedings that the county filed in this case. So the county objected to the statement provided by the DeMartinis, you know, provided its own statement of the proceedings. And that statement of the proceedings doesn't talk about what actually happened during the board discussions beyond the fact that the board extensively discussed the application and ultimately voted to deny by a vote of 3-2. You know, there's nothing in there about whether the board considered the remedial measures, whether the board did adopt the Planning Commission's findings. And so I'm trying to figure out why the statement of the proceedings is so very vague, and what we're supposed to rely on in reviewing the board's decision.
Thank you. This court can look to the entire record that was filed with the court, which does include all of the minutes from the Planning Commission, as well as the proposal that is all before this court today. The summary or the statement of the proceedings, true, does not detail word for word what was said at the meeting. We don't have that transcript, and that's not something that appears that anyone was able to get. But I don't believe there's any dispute, and it is borne out in both the statement of proceedings provided by the relators as well as by the county, that there was discussion of what of the 15 factors, that the three factors that were not met, why they were not, or why the Planning Commission didn't accept those three factors, and that there was comments and explanation provided by the DeMartini's attorney, as well as the statements from the public that were presented at the hearing in front of the public meeting with the Board of Commissioners. So it's true. We don't have word for word what was said. We don't have that. I can't recreate that today. All I can say is what we have before the court. And again, that record is not limited to the statement of the proceedings. It does include all of that information that is in the packet of information that was filed with the court. And just turning back here today, what we're asking this court to do is to look at whether the Board of Commissioners acted unreasonably, arbitrarily, capriciously, and essentially look at whether the county board misapplied a legal standard. There's nothing to indicate that they did. They followed the ordinances to the letter, followed the procedure for looking at interim use permit application. Nothing outlined by the relators indicate that they did not comport with the law. And in terms of the factual findings, I understand the by the questions, the court is a bit troubled by the fact that there is no transcript and detailed information about what happened at the final board meeting or at the board meeting itself rather than the planning commission. But it does appear that there is no dispute as to what was discussed, and all of the detailed explanations that are contained within the record provide a sufficient factual basis for the board's ultimate decision that this kennel did not meet the 15 required factors that are outlined in Blue Earth County ordinances. And again, this county board didn't operate in a vacuum, neither does the planning commission, and the prior behavior of the applicants was taken into consideration as the best predictor of whether they would be in compliance with any future or any future interim use conditions. And at this point, we are asking this court to uphold the decision of the Board of Commissioners in Blue Earth County Human Service or Blue Earth County. Thank you.
Thank you for your argument. And now we will go back to Ms. Olson for a rebuttal. Ms. Olson, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just want to make clear on the record, per Rule 110, it is our obligation to attempt to order the transcript or then file of a notice of intent to proceed in one of the alternatives. To be clear, we did attempt to order a transcript. We tried very hard to order a transcript. And when we couldn't, we gave our notice and actually asked for an order granting it because our original statement of the case said we were going to obtain it. We found out we couldn't obtain a transcript because we had typically you have a court reporter. There is no court reporter at these meetings and no private reporter will do a transcript like this, at least from what we had. The respondent may also try to obtain a transcript if they think it is necessary, and the county did not do so in that case. In fact, they never attempted it. They just went forward with the statement of the proceedings. The rule does allow for them to do it themselves. I would note they did not, they agreed, and I'm not sure what they attempted to do, but we went that way. The statement of proceedings given by the county is lacking, and I think it's lacking because there isn't a lot on the record explaining the denial besides these past cases and these past incidents. And as Your Honor previously noted, and actually has been discussed in 2006 by this court in Eureka Township, which is an unpublished case, it actually talks about noise. That is a significant factor. And the whole basis of the denial of their interim use permit was that it was noisy, that it was going to continue to be noisy, and that they therefore shouldn't have it. And this court denied that and said, no, you can't just go off of the fact that dogs bark. Dogs do bark, and they're in an area in which they are going to bark. Again, I think what is not noted by the county and what the county keeps ignoring is that this is an agricultural zoning area, which means there is an expectation of more noise, more odors, other things that would be inconvenient with an in-town residence versus an out-of-town agricultural residence.
Ms. Olson, Ms. DeVos then referred us to the minutes of the commission that's in the record. And so why would that not satisfy then the requirement of the why or the analysis consideration used by the county, since that's incorporated in the county's decision? Do you believe that's sufficient? And if not, why not?
I don't believe it's sufficient, Your Honor. If you look at the minutes, it doesn't truly explain the why. And the why itself is capricious and arbitrary and unreasonable. They're saying because something happened in the past that they didn't follow through with it in the past, therefore they shouldn't ever be able to get an interim use permit. What is ignored here with the interim use permit and how it's designed in Blue Earth County, and I believe in most places within our MUs, is that it's set for a year. They continue to have to renew it. So if they fail to comply with what they were supposed to be doing, they could get it shut down. That's why you put the conditions in, and that's what they were attempting to do. Again, this isn't the first thing they attempted. They tried a variance, but it got denied because they wouldn't qualify. They were going to do a conditional use permit, but they were told an interim use permit is the more appropriate thing to do. They applied and paid all the fees. They continued to set plans, zoning. They did exactly what the Planning Commission wanted. There was a complaint about noise. There was a complaint about the dogs running around, and they found ways to do it, very unique ways. I agree with Your Honor that that is unique, the garage door situation, the double fencing. Those aren't normal standard things that are just going to happen. They did that because they wanted to be able to do this and to give the community a kennel. And to say now, well, you don't get it because the neighbors are unhappy with you, which is truly, that's what this boils down to. The neighbors didn't like it, and the Planning Commission was not happy with the fact that they started a kennel prior to getting these permits. However, you do have to look at the plan in a whole. I don't believe it's relevant to say historical facts mean this is what you're going to do. We don't allow that in trial, and we don't allow it here. The motive, if they're showing yes, and they agreed, yes, we did this wrong originally, but here's how we want to fix it. Here's the steps we took. And they do all of that. And now to still deny them because we just decided we don't think you're going to do it is not fair. And if that it needs to be, it should, is a factor, then it needs to be in the ordinance. And it's not. We are asking that you didn't, reverse the decision made by the county, as it is arbitrary and capricious. Thank you.
Thank you to both of our attorneys for your very helpful arguments this morning. The case is now submitted to the court, and we will issue our decision within the statutory timeframe.